The other night, I asked my wife, Julie, to be my audience for my homily. I told her she got to be the first person to fall asleep during one of my homilies. I was amazed when she didn't fall asleep. So that means one of you could be the lucky one to earn the title of the first person to fall asleep during one of my homilies. If we don't know how to forgive, we don't know how to live. This choice between being someone who is unforgiving to others or being someone who forgives is probably one of the most important decisions we'll make in our lives. As a married man, I am constantly reminded of my need for forgiveness. The good news is that each of one of us that's gathered here today as Christian brothers and sisters has already received God's forgiveness and grace. While we may sometimes question if we can receive God's forgiveness for the sins that we have done, the truth is we believe in the same God who forgave Moses the murderer, David the adulterer, and Paul the Christian murderer. And he will forgive each one of us as well. All we have to do is seek his forgiveness and grace, which is God's free gift to us. So, brothers and sisters, when we receive God's forgiveness and grace, the question is, what are we going to do with this? Will we use God's forgiveness and grace for our own selfish purpose, or will we use it for his purpose? In today's gospel, we heard about the unforgiving servant who chose to use forgiveness and grace for his own selfish purpose. First, this unforgiving servant was spared his life and the life of his own family and property being sold into slavery. And then he was forgiven by his master, what equates to over $1 billion in today's money of debt. And the first thing he does is he turns around and finds his fellow servant who owes him about $15,000 in today's money and starts to choke him, demanding payment of the debt. Will we be like this unforgiving servant? Or are we instead going to use the forgiveness and grace that God has given us to share it with others? God wants us not only to focus on what we've been given, but on why we've been given it. The unforgiving servant really took the attitude of, great, I've been saved, to hell with everyone else. And it's tempting for us to get trapped into being like this unforgiving servant who chokes the fellow servant indebted to him. How often we might find ourselves having a chokehold in our heart on the boss who doesn't give us the recognition we feel we deserve, the children who aren't giving us the respect we deserve, or maybe it's a friend who we gave money to but who hasn't paid us back, or maybe it's a parent that's getting on our last nerve. How are we to decide what sin is over the edge and cannot be forgiven? Well, the short answer is we don't. In today's gospel, Jesus tells Peter to forgive 77 times, and he means by that to forgive without limit. When God gives us his forgiveness and grace, he wants us to share it with others. This is how God's forgiveness and grace goes to everywhere God wants it to go. Now, when we forgive, what Jesus is talking about is releasing that chokehold in our heart that we have against the person who sinned against us. And it's tempting to think sometimes that by holding on to that chokehold, we're somehow hurting that other person. But the truth is, the person we're hurting the most is ourselves. When we try to trap someone who has sinned against us in the chokehold in our heart, we end up living a tortured existence like the unforgiving servant. When we refuse to share God's forgiveness with one another, it's kind of like us drinking a poison and somehow expecting it to hurt the other person. We feel that poison of unforgiveness destroying the health of our hearts and the life within it. And the antidote for this poison comes from seeking God's forgiveness and grace, securing it in our hearts, and then sharing it with others. God wants us to seek his forgiveness wholeheartedly, secure it in our hearts, and then share it with others. Over the years, I've been shared much in the way of God's grace by everybody from my godfather, Deacon Ken Capoletti, Monsignor Billion, Father Phil, now Father Jeremy, my wife Julie, my children Journey, Faith, and Beckett, my parents, and each of you who prayed for me and showed me God's grace in other ways. I am most grateful to each of you for God's grace that you have shared with me. And yesterday, as you heard, that grace resulted in me being ordained a deacon by Bishop Thomas laying his hands on me. And now it's my pleasure to share that grace with each of you by serving here at Corpus Christi. Now, in a few moments, when we join together, we'll say the words that Christ taught us in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. When we say these words, let us call to mind someone who has sinned against us and we've been clinging to in our hearts, and release that chokehold against them in our hearts. God wants us to let it go and to wish them well. And we have an opportunity when we offer each other a sign of peace to wish that person well. In our hearts, maybe they're not with us today, but to just wish them peace in our hearts. It is only then that we stop choking off God's forgiveness and grace, keeping it from bearing fruit in our own lives and those that we touch, and that we start allowing God's forgiveness and grace to flow through us to touch the lives of others. In the end, the question we must ask ourselves is, do we want to be known as the person who lives a tortured existence, unforgiving to others? Or do we want to be known instead as a person who makes God's forgiveness and grace touch the lives of others? This choice between unforgiving and forgiving can become the story of our lives. Let us remember today and every day that to forgive is to live. Oh, and if you fell asleep during my homily, I forgive you.
It's pretty good, Justin. I've been here over 5 years. I don't think I ever got applause, you know.